So I'm very happy to be with you here today. Again, lots of familiar faces, and it's also nice to see some new people here. And as the title of the talk is, it's about breaking free of habits. So this has been my subject recently, and I have a book coming out on it. So what I want to do is talk a little about patterning, and today, because we just have a certain amount of time, I basically will only look at the mental pattern and the emotional pattern, but of course, there is patterns everywhere in our relationship, etc., etc. But I will kind of, due to the time, I will keep to that. But during the discussion, if you want to talk about other patterns, this is fine too. So, some time ago, I was in the market, and I wanted to buy a present for my sister, and I wanted to buy her some amber. And to buy a kind of like a little pendant in amber. And then I noticed there was some pendants in amber who had some animal in them, insects. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And then there was one I was thinking of buying, which had an ant. And then I did not buy it because it looked exactly like the ant I find in my garden today. And I did not think that my sister would like to have an ant right here. But this led me to ponder about ants. Because, I mean, there's been this ant there in the amber was 4 million years old. And it looked exactly like an ant you find in your garden now. But biologically, it's very different. So what is interesting with ants is that they have survived 4 million years through two different processes. The fact that they're very resilient, so very much keeping the pattern, and at the same time they're very adaptive. And I think this is very interesting, that the way they managed to survive was through these two aspects, to be resilient, to kind of reproduce the same form, and at the same time biologically adapting to the different environment. And if we look at life in a way continues and evolves through repetition and adaptability. This is a two-way the life evolves. You need a certain amount of repetition, but at the same time you need a certain amount of adaptability, of things changing. But in a way, often what happens is that things become fixed. So when you fix things, you stop change, you stop variation, and then you get stagnation or regression. And then often, if it's too much stagnation, too much regression, then what happens is that you can only have change through breakdown or chaos. And then in a way, this is a question I think that each of us has in our lives. Do we want to be responsible agents creatively involved in the flux and transformation of our lives? Or do we want change to happen through breakdown and chaos? I think this is in a way the choice often we have. And then if we look at learning is interesting. Because learning is a process of going from novelty moving to familiarization. We learn something new, it becomes habitual. We learn something new, it becomes habitual. So in a way we're constantly moving from novelty to routinization. From something being new to something being repeated, to being more like a habit, like a pattern. And in a way we're surrounded by patterns. Habits, patterns, that's what makes the world. So you have survival patterns, like eating, we need to eat regularly. And you have patterns which are more like acquired, like driving. You learn to drive and over the time it becomes habitual, something you know how to do. But then, the pattern can be appropriate and inappropriate, or skillful and unskillful. You can eat appropriately, or you can eat very inappropriately, eating too much, eating too little, and through that causing suffering. The same with driving. You can drive skillfully, or you can drive crazily. And again, you have the pattern. I think what is important with habits is to see that habits per se are not problematic. Is do we become fixed in that habit? Do the habit kind of hold us in such a way which is unskillful, inappropriate, and causes suffering? And so in a way, I would say that meditation is developing concentration and inquiry, developing quietness and clarity, and so that we develop creative awareness. And through that creative awareness, we can start to creatively engage with whatever occurs in our life. So that's where I think often what happens, our habits, which were useful at some point, become set. And then they in a way stop us from having a creative response, and instead we have what I would call a stuck reaction. We cannot even do things we don't want to do because it's so immediate, automatic, habitual. And I would say in a way the meditation helps us to become more creative, to in a way try to break through to dissolve those habits so that they can become more functional. So human beings have a functioning, they have basic functioning of the body, of the mind, of the heart. We have thoughts, we have feelings, we have sensations. And they are in a way to express, to manifest our potential. But then life happens, life unfolds. And then we have a complex conditioning of genes, of family, of cultures, of tendencies. And then from that, we develop habits. And in a way, over time, the habits become like grooves. Kind of, and often what we do is that we deepen and deepen the groove. And in a way, the deeper the groove, then the more stuck we will be. So we have like mental habits, emotional habits, physical habits. And in that, often these habits fix and limit our potential. So in a way, what are we going to do about this? And to me, this is one of the aspects of meditation, that the meditation helps us in developing this creative awareness to become more aware of our habits, but in a non-judgmental way. So we can start to what I would call experiment with the habit. We can start to look in the habit. We start to recognize it. We start to see when are they useful, where are not they useful, what is going on. And so in a way to, instead of saying they're good or they're bad, I think the meditation helps us to engage creatively with them and try to see how we can dissolve them or de-intensify them if they are too, kind of, in a way, too much of an obstacle in our lives. And personally, over time, I think that we can see, and I think that's what is very interesting with the meditation, is that we can start to see that the habits manifest in a way in three different ways. And according to how they manifest in these three different levels, we can deal with them in a different way. I think this is very important to see. They're not exactly the same. And I would say there is these three levels. And one level is what I would call the intense level. Suddenly you caught in a habit in a very intense way and you feel totally stuck. And I think what is important here is to see that you're stuck in that habit because something shocking has happened. Shocking to the system has happened, and so you go into this immediate, automatic, very intense response. And for example, if I had a friend once, I was talking to her on the phone and I was asking, how are you? And she said, I am terrible. Everything is terrible. Everything is always so terrible. This is awful. My life is awful. And I said, what happened? She said, nothing happened. My life is always terrible. It's always awful. And after 10 minutes, finally, she said, actually, yes, yesterday, something happened. Something I'd been afraid of for a long time to my daughter at school. And then we could start to talk. Well, you see, if you say it's always like this, it's always, again, in this intensity, when it's intense like this, we cannot permanentize it. And I think it's important to see when there is intensity, generally there are certain conditions. Something happens, which kind of, you know, it triggers this automatic intense response. Or you have habitual tendencies, not very intense, but they're very habitual. And what is very interesting with that is that generally other people see it, other people know it, but often we are blind to it, you know. And I mean, I remember once we were having this dinner at home, family dinner, with a various member of my family, and there was a bit of a lull, and Stephen, my husband, who was English and new to the family, started to he thought, you know, it was a bit silent, so maybe he should introduce a subject. And the subject he introduced, unfortunately, was about politics. And as soon as he started to talk, we all looked at each other and thought, oh no. Because we knew that one member of the family was going to go on for 30 minutes in a very intense way, which he did. And Stephen never did it again. But it was interesting because we all looked at each other and we knew. I mean, habitual thing, you know. And, you know, often people point them out. You know, it's kind of something that is relatively repetitive. You don't do it all the time, but you do it enough that it's kind of a little repetitive, habitual. And then there is a light manifestation of the habit. And this is kind of just things which kind of come up and kind of, you know, due to certain conditions. And me, now I have a bit less, but I used to have this habit of luggage making. So I would sit in meditation, and I would think about my luggage. You know, I'm going to South Africa in a year's time. What should I put in my luggage? And then, you know, I started to think it was a bit too early, you know. Wait a little later. And we can see, there is certain seed to our habit. So in a way, I think it's important to see, because when it's very intense, in a way you will behave differently than it's when it's habitual or when it's light. And I also think it's important to see it when it's light, because it's when it's easier to deal with it. Habitual, you can deal with it a little better. When it's intense, it's generally very difficult. So what I like to do now is look at the mental habit. And this is what I like you to do this morning. So this morning, in terms of the meditation instruction, I would suggest that you do what you do generally. If you're not used to meditation, I would just suggest that you watch the breath. Just watch the breath, watch the experience. How do you experience the breath? How do you feel the breath? You don't breathe in any specific way. You just sit there and just raise your attention on the breath, on the flow of the breath. You can put the focus on the nostril if you're not feeling so concentrated, or you just follow the whole of the breath. And just try to be aware of the breath and try to come back again and again to that experience of the breath. That's what I would recommend. If you have another method of meditation which you find useful, you just do that. But what I would like you to ask you as an exercise today is to notice very gently, not as a kind of analysis so much as to notice, when you go away from the breath or from your focus, what is it you are thinking about? But not, it's not a psychological inquiry. It's not, why am I thinking this? That's not the point of the exercise. But it's more, what is it I am thinking relatively repetitively? Because there is this kind of, if you look, generally we don't have original thought every 2 minutes. We have very repetitive thoughts. We have generally thought this before. And I think what is interesting for us is to start to, in a way, create space around our thought, so we become less identified with our thought. So we start to have thoughts instead of I am this thought. And I think one of the process in that is to start to see that we have them and to start to see the nature of them. So you don't have to spend a lot of time, what is this thought, but just noticing the texture, the taste, the feel, the content of the thought, and then come back to the breath, to the focus. Because I think what you can notice is that often in meditation, people try to meditate and they try to have no thought. And if you are trying to do that, I would say this is hopeless. You cannot not have thought when you sit in meditation. And why do you have thought? It's because you have a brain. If you did not have a brain, then you did not have thought, but then you would not be sitting here, so it would not work. So, we have thought because we have a brain, we have activity in the brain. But are we, in a way, spacious in that? Or are we, what I would say, proliferate? I think a lot, when we sit in meditation, often is a lot of proliferation, a lot of repetition. It's kind of like we occupy ourselves. It's kind of all these thoughts. And what I think is important to see is that the coming back to the breath, the coming back to the focus, it's why we'll diminish the power of the mental habit. And that's why meditation works. Whenever we come back to the breath, we are diminishing the power of the mental habit. That's the main point, I would say, of the meditation. So, in a way, to look, for example, do we have intense thoughts? Are we sitting in meditation and we can only be with the breath for about 1 second, and then we think, they said this, how could they say this? And really, you know, they should not have done it, you know. And you kind of really go on and on and on. And you see, you can have positive, intense thinking. You know, I don't know if you fell in love before you came here, but if you fell in love yesterday, I would presume you're sitting, you know, I love him, I love him, I love her, I love her, and then you kind of, you know. You know, I would say you would not be very present here. But in a way, I'm not saying you should not fall in love, but you see the intensity, that generally when we are in this, caught in this intensity, our life becomes reduced to that. This is a problem when it's very intense, when we, something very negative or something very positive. And I think there what I would suggest, if this is happening to you in meditation today, try to see, as you sit in meditation, becoming aware of these intense, obsessive thoughts, not judging them, because you have them because something has happened. They are generally good conditions for having intense thinking. But trying to see how can I create space within it. And I think the thing to do is to just see it and then to say to yourself, let it go, let it be, just for a second. Just give yourself the opportunity for 1 second, come back to the breath. And what you will see is that when you come back to the breath, you are going to come back to everything in this moment. This is the thing, when we locked in one intense thought, we don't hear anything, we don't see anything, we really stuck in a way in that. And so I think it's very important there to try through the meditation to come back to the whole body, to the whole moment, and so to break a little that intensity and just to create a little space by just let it be, let it go just for a second, another second, another breath. And then of course you will go back to it. And then you see it again and you don't judge it, you just say, let me try just for a second to be with the breath. And in that way, actually you will diminish the intensity. And of course it will still be there because the conditions have happened, but it will be less intense. I think at that level, that's all we can do, is weaken the intensity. We cannot change the thought, but we can try to create a little space within it. I mean, recently, in December, we went to South Africa, which everybody knows is a very dangerous place, etc., etc. And 2 days after we'd been there and started a retreat, we heard that we'd been burgled in France, in our tiny village in the French country. And I was sitting in meditation, teaching meditation, and what was I doing? For the first day, I was intensely thinking 2 things. You know, how can I protect my house better? I was plotting revenge and plotting traps next time. And I did this for a day, and then I thought, wait a minute. You know, this is intense, habitual thinking, let it go. And of course, because I have done quite a lot of meditation, I was able to let it go like this. Once I said, okay, you've done it for a day, this is enough, now you let it go. So I stopped with the traps and the security. And in a way, over time, we develop the power of awareness. So that even when we have intense thought, actually we start to have more freedom with them. And then there is the habitual thought. And this is, you will recognize them, you sit in meditation, the breath, the breath, the breath, and then you start to plan your holiday. or you daydream, oh, if I won the lottery, you know, I would go to the Bahamas or Tibet or whatever, where you want to go. Or you see, and then you can start to recognize, you know, planning, fantasizing, judging, comparing. I mean, generally, our thoughts have a little texture. It's interesting. That's why I think the awareness practice is interesting. To see that when we plan, it actually there is a little tiny anxiety sometimes, you know, planning, making sure we don't get surprised. Or with daydreaming, I mean, this is like, you know, our favorite activity when we sit in meditation. Everything goes according to plan. Mono-reality. So we love it. So in a way, to see, you know, that generally there is a little taste. Like daydreaming is, I like this. Planning is a little more kind of one is a little more stuck. Judging gets a little burden. It's like there is a little kind of judge. This is good, this is bad. Am I doing this right or wrong? And often that's what happens in meditation. You sit in meditation, am I doing it the right way? There is no right way to meditate. There is only the way you can meditate in this moment. This is the only way to meditate. There is no right way or wrong way to meditate. Just to try it. Just to try to be with the breath. Just to try to be with the sound. Or to be with whatever you have chosen as a focus in a stable and open way. I think this is very important. So you might also be ruminating. Ruminating is kind of a lower down from intense, kind of obsessive. You ruminate. And generally goes, they did this. That was really nasty. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And then you go into the future and you plot revenge. I am going to get them, you know, like me and my robbers. No? So in a way to see, that's what we do. Because you see, I think there is a difference to seeing that's what we do to being caught, totally identify with the whole story. And so that's why in meditation we have the opportunity to very gently see, ruminating. Daydreaming, planning, judging, and just see it. Not analyze it, why you have it. It's just part of a, you know, human brain structure. And then to come back to the breath to create space within the mental function. This is to me what the meditation can help us, is to dissolve the habit so we can be, go back to more a kind of the original function. Planning, we need to plan. But we don't need to plan 100 times the same thing. So with planning, I would say check. After 5 times, you stop. Maybe something else, or maybe no planning at all. You know, with daydreaming, try to come back to the present. With judging, again, you don't need to judge repeatedly in this way. So judging, daydreaming is useful as kind of, you know, imagining, but not when it takes you away from reality. So trying to notice very gently, what is it I do in an habitual manner, and can I come back again to the breath, to the focus, as a means to diminish the power of the habit. And then the third one is light. Light occupying thought. And this is interesting because we sit in meditation and we often have the feeling we are meditating and thinking at the same time. It's interesting, you can observe the breath, and then at the background, there is all, you know, luggage or shopping list or train of thought. And then it's interesting, this is because the thoughts, they are very light. So you can come back to them very easily. So you kind of go a little, you go. And I think there it's very interesting also to see this light occupying thought. Because then it kind of makes us again see what is it that we have a tendency to think about, and also what is it that when it's light and it's triggered can go very quickly through habitual and intense. And that's what, and also it's when it's light that we can more easily deal with our mental content. So I think it's interesting to notice these three different intense, habitual, light, and to try to see, to kind of get to know our thought better in a non-judgmental and light way. And trying to see also that coming back to the breath, that's really coming back to that wide, open awareness. So this is what I wanted to say for this morning, to introduce this pattern, this breaking free of habits. And I hope this is relatively clear for everybody. And then first, because you have arrived, you have listened to me for 30 minutes, actually I would like you to do some walking meditation. Walking meditation for 15 minutes to take a little fresh air, but also meditation in movement. I think the walking meditation is a bridge between sitting meditation and meditation in movement. And so I would suggest, as was suggested, not to walk on the grass, but to walk on a short distance under the thing or on the path if it doesn't rain. And so when you walk, you start with just being aware of the body standing. So doing standing meditation. You just stand, being aware of the body, the feet of the ground, and then you walk a little more slowly, but not too slowly, and then you're aware of the body, you're aware of the movement in the body. The feet, everywhere of the body, the feet of the ground, also you feel the air, you see things, but you don't grasp, you don't reject it or anything. And the focus there, the anchor, is not the breath anymore, it is the body. And then you get to the end of the little place you have, you turn again, then again you stand, and then you walk again, slowly. And trying to be very aware of walking, present to it, and again noticing, what is it that takes me away? Because we walk a lot in our life. We go to get the bread, we walk around, we walk in nature. And when we walk, what do? Generally, we do two things. One, we already arrive. You've not even started, you're already there. Or you walk and you're totally distracted. So you might walk on the high street and not notice your best friend because you're really somewhere else. So here, trying to really be present to here, to the ground, to the air, to what we see in this non-grasping and non-rejecting way. And then you come back here in 15 minutes for the first sitting. Thank you. And if anybody has any questions, they can comment.